Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Yes, clap your hands, everybody, because the Philadelphia 76ers just got one of the best players in the NBA in one of the most shocking trades I can ever remember. Hugh, good morning. We're live today, Citizens Bank Park. We'll take you right up to the Phillies game. But on July 2nd, we start with your Sixers, who last night, I thought it was fake. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was fake when I was sent that. I was like, it's not real. Jaylen Brown to the Sixers for Paul George, 2 firsts and 2 seconds. How the hell did we get Jaylen Brown? What a day for the Sixers. What a day for Philadelphia. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia. First of all, stay cool. It's hot.
You did tell someone to stay hot earlier.
Yeah, I did. I messed that up. stay cool because it's warm. It's warm. I'm with you, Joe. When I first saw it, I started looking all over the internet because this is one of those – I thought it was a troll job. I really, really did. And when you saw what they gave up to get him, I was like, oh, this can't be real. So then you sit back and you wait for the vetted names, the guys that you trust when it comes to information like this. And when the story started trickling down, my first thought was, it's amazing how we just had a conversation yesterday talking about playoff odds or contention odds. And we were trying to rank the teams in the city and who had the odds to contend this year. And the Sixers have jumped past everybody when you talk about the chances that they have. And we were talking about it yesterday, talking about trading Joel Embiid and all the messed up contracts that
we had.
Trying
to get out from under this stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
And we get rid of Paul George. Now having Joel Embiid here, if we can find somebody that could just take some of the minutes away from him and have him still out there in a limited role, you got a shot.
Well,
you have a legit shot.
The Sixers, once you're right, Hugh, in 215-592-9494 to join us to react. Your reaction to the Sixers landing Jaylen Brown. Let's just put in perspective what happened last night. The Sixers traded Paul George, who was a negative asset at this point, old, broken down, not that good of a player anymore, and 2 first-round picks. I don't even care about the second-round picks. Paul George in 2 ones for Jaylen Brown, an all-NBA second-team, all-NBA player.
Yeah, not that far removed from winning the championship.
Yes, finals MVP. And, you know, we always have fun with a Super Bowl MVP and that debate. You look in the history of basketball, finals MVPs are Hall of Famers. I mean, but basically all of them make the Hall of Fame. This is a tremendous player. He's a 5-time All-Star. He was 6th place in NBA MVP votes for the full season. They didn't have Tatum for the full year, right?
Yeah, and it was
until
him.
The end. It was him leading the charge. They finished 2nd in the Eastern Conference. This guy is a tremendous basketball player. You know, whether or not he's top 5, 10, 15, he's really good, right? He's conservatively a top 20 player. I would say closer to top 15 in the world.
Yeah.
And they got him. I mean, if you told me they were going to trade Paul George, I would have said they probably have to attach a first-round pick just to get off him. So if you kind of use that math, what did they trade for Jaylen Brown? A first? What really did they trade for Jaylen Brown? I am shocked the Sixers were able to make this deal. 215-592-9494. So two things immediately jump to mind. One, the Sixers have reopened this window of contention that looked like it kind of closed in recent years.
Yes.
To where they were in the playoffs, but no real chance to do anything deep in the playoffs. They have reopened that. The second thing I thought of immediately is, Hugh, this is probably the most out of nowhere great Philadelphia sports acquisition since Cliff Lee came back to the Phillies in late December 2010. Like, just out of nowhere. Usually this stuff has legs. It has rumors. You know, we talk about it for a couple weeks, and then maybe something happens, you know, when one of these big acquisitions happens. Hugh, there was zero. When I say zero, if you had asked me yesterday, what are the chances that the Sixers trade for Jaylen Brown? Like, if we had a caller say that yesterday, like, let's just put this out there. If a caller called into our show, Hugh, and proposed the trade that went down last night, we probably would have laughed at them.
Yeah.
Like, there's no – I mean, come on.
That's why – you know what? And that goes in the vein of, you know, like when you were talking about, you know, getting Ranger back here, wrong her, and all the other stuff. That's why no trade is too crazy, because you just never know what somebody's thinking. Because when you look at that, when you look at that trade from last night, and you talk about what was given up and what you got back, most people they say you're lying. I can't believe that.
Of course.
And then everybody else say, you know – the Celtics got fleeced. Reminds me when Luka Doncic, when he went from the Mavericks to the Lakers. So it's one of those things where, even though it might sound far-fetched to you, hey, throw it out there. You never know what's going
to
happen.
Well, the Sixers did that. Credit to them. Credit to Mike Gansey, Bob Myers, obviously running this front office.
Look at Mike Gansey come in and make him move.
Woo! I mean, this is a move that changes the Sixers' present and future. 215-592-9494. For your reaction to the Sixers trading for Jaylen Brown last night. The other thing I thought of here as soon as the trade went down, and this is going to sound strong, but I think it's true. I think this is the best player the Sixers have traded for since Moses Malone. I mean, the Sixers made some big moves over the years, right?
They've gone for Mutombo.
Well, they got Mutombo, and that's close. I think Jaylen Brown is a better player than Mutombo. Now, Mutombo's great. Mutombo's in the Hall of Fame.
You're talking about in the prime, in his prime,
and
too.
Mutombo was a great defensive player, right? Yeah. Jaylen Brown is more of an all-around player and obviously could put the ball in the basket. Mutombo is a big one, and that helped that team. James Harden was on the way down when they traded for him. Like, Harden was more accomplished. He won an MVP. But I think this version of Brown is better than that version of James Harden back in 22. You could throw Jimmy Butler in there. You know that, but he was only here for a few months, basically. Yeah. He was a free agent to be. I think this is the best player under contract that they've traded for since Moses Malone. Like, this is a franchise-altering trade they made yesterday, and one that not a single soul in this city saw coming.
No, no question about that. And I'll tell you another thing. It feels to me like there's a chance that he might light a fire under Joel Embiid, because I can't wait to his press conference. And one of the reporters, I'm thinking it's going to be Dave Uren.
The Bulldog?
The Bulldog. Ask him about his comments about Joel Embiid and about Joel Embiid flopping and all that other stuff. And I wonder how he's going to respond to that, given now that he's his teammate. And in order to get him going, I mean, I think that reality has to be, thrown out there. And it may hopefully to make Joel Embiid a better player.
Well, hopefully. And look, the reality of this is this. The Sixers have now created a trio, Hugh, that doesn't involve Joel, that are going to lead this team. Like, and Joel now can settle into a different stage of his career where if he just plays a role, they can win a lot of games. I mean, Maxey and Brown are their best players now, right? Yeah. Maxey and Jaylen Brown are their best players, and Edgecombe is rising pretty fast to maybe be on their level. Joel can be looked at in a different way now. Like, they don't need him to carry them at all anymore.
So exactly.
Just be healthy, rebound the basketball, play some defense, and let those guys carry the load. 215-592-9494. Let's hear how this thing went down. Shams last night on what the Celtics originally wanted. And credit to the Sixers for kind of shaking them down and holding them until they accepted the deal that they were offering. Here's Shams last night.
Sixers president, new president, Mike Gansey, reached out to the Celtics, made offers in recent weeks. It's been quite some time where these talks seem to have a level of traction, because the Celtics has such a high bar on a deal, right? They were thinking, if you're going to trade us Paul George, we need 4 firsts, 5 firsts. We need a player like a Vijay Edgecombe. Mm. That was the bar that was set early. So there were other teams around the league that might have stopped conversations or moved on to do other deals, but the Sixers stayed with it. Stood around, stayed at the party. They didn't have Irish goodbye. They didn't leave early. They stuck around. And at the end of it, they were the last team standing today. So staying engaged, staying with it, that paid dividends for the Sixers. Now, when you think about it, and Perk makes that point, when you can get a 30-year-old player who's probably got 4 to 6 years left in his prime, potentially at this level, with a 20s Tyrese Maxey, with a 20s Vijay Edgecombe, that is scary for the rest of the Eastern Conference.
Well, it is. And for the Celtics, for that, Hugh, I just keep coming back to, what are the Celtics thinking? How did they get to the point where they sold Jaylen Brown for this package? I mean, if you had asked me 6 weeks ago what they could get for Jaylen Brown, I don't know. I would have said 5 first-round picks, or I would have said another comparable all-star player around the same age, or something in that vein. 36-year-old Paul George and 2 first-round picks? It doesn't make any sense.
You know what I think, as I recklessly speculate?
Oh, I like this.
Somebody called in a marker. Like, just like the Luka Doncic situation, somebody called in a marker. Somebody had a favor. Somebody had some pictures or something that they didn't want out there. Then they said, hey, bro, it's time. It's time. I need this favor. And give me, and it was like, hey, give me what you got. And that's how it went down. Because you talk about all the other teams. When you talk about being traded, Jaylen Brown's name was mentioned a lot early on. Mm-hmm. And like they were talking about, nothing happened. And he found out that they were trying to get Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
And it didn't happen. So now you're calling in, like, I guess the well ran dry. I don't know why, but I guess nobody thought that they could do it. So somebody called in a marker. I think that's what this was. Somebody called in a marker.
The weird part is, we all think the Celtics are smart. So either they got dumb overnight, or maybe there's more to it. I don't know if it's a financial thing. I don't know what it is. My eyes tell me Jaylen Brown's an excellent basketball player, and the Sixers just improved themselves exponential. Let's hear Brian Windhorst yesterday on what the heck the Boston Celtics are doing.
The league speculation, it's not reporting, but I don't dispute it. is that this was a trade that was made under duress. That this was not a trade that you would make in a clinical setting. Not a trade, you know, there's no deadline. Didn't have to do it by the end of July 1st. That you wouldn't do this trade under these circumstances if everything was equal, that something wasn't equal.
The duress gets me there. Right? I mean, what does that mean? Like, was he about to request a trade and then they just wanted to get this done quickly?
You know,
jeez.
You know, with the way things are going, you know, people getting kidnapped and whatnot, maybe his pops rolled up in there. You know, his dad used to be a boxer. So maybe his dad rolled up.
Oh, you're rolling
Sixers.
With full reckless speculation.
Oh, yes. Straight up. And his dad told
him. His dad threatened Brad Stevens?
He probably did. I mean, you know, I don't know that for sure, but it feel. But when you think about the way that this went down, doesn't it feel like something happened and they felt like we had to do this right away?
It does feel like there's something, there's a missing piece to this puzzle. Like, yeah. How did we get this player for this package? My hope, and my hope is for the Sixers, that it is a financial, it's either a financial thing or the relationship up there deteriorated so much that they just had to move on. You know, so they weren't really worried about the best value. They just wanted him out of there.
Yeah.
That's my hope. Now, is there any piece of me that wonders if they know something we don't know? I mean, we've been down this road with the Celtics before, the Markelle Fultz trade, where they knew something we didn't know, and it turned into a disaster. My brain is telling me it's a great trade for the Sixers, and they're in a great spot now.
Wait a minute. You feel like something going on with Jalen?
What? I mean, don't you wonder why they traded him for this little?
Not that, Joe. I mean, I'm not. I think I don't want to be in your head, but
a part of me wonders why did they do this?
Come on,
how did we get this player? It is amazing. All right, let's also hear from Kendrick Perkins, who was he didn't hold back on his thoughts on the deal. Perk,
it was one of the dumbest trades in NBA history, and Mike Gansey, Jameer Nelson, Bob Myers, they should be serving breakfast in bed to Brad Stevens. I'm talking about cut-up fruit, seedless grapes, mint tea, toast with strawberry jam, because they finessed the hell out of him. And this is just sad all across the board.
That might be my new favorite go-to. The seedless grapes, cut-up strawberry,
I mean, because the visual that he painted is like, yeah, because you did look out. Like, you looked out. And when somebody looks out for you like that, and you know you got looked out for, you do go above and beyond.
But why would Brad Stevens look out for the Sixers? What is how did they get Jalen Brown?
Called right. in a favor.
215-592-9490 for your reaction to the Jalen Brown trade. He is now a part of the Sixers, along with Tyrese Maxey, Vijay Edgecombe, and Joel Embiid. And Hugh, I mean, our mind now has to wonder, right? There was a report yesterday that the Sixers have reached out to LeBron James, Tony Jones of The Athletic. I mean, LeBron, yesterday there was a report that he wants to go to a contender. He wants to win. It isn't necessarily about money at this point. He's made hundreds of millions,
billions. Something about taking the minimum?
Well, I'm just saying, if it's about basketball now, right, if it's just about competing, there is a spot on the floor for a point forward that certainly, from a basketball perspective, Hugh, it fits. I don't know if he wants to come to Philadelphia. It fits glove.
I tell you what.
Like a glove.
If LeBron got the if LeBron's thinking about coming here, don't ask to go to the game with me now, because you know everybody now. This is the time. Jalen Brown yesterday moved the meter.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure the phone has been ringing off the hook for Sixers tickets this year. I know security's probably going to be tight. Now if LeBron comes here now, that's something totally different. That's something totally
well,
different.
Well, and it puts the Sixers in a different stratosphere. 215-592-9490 for your reaction to it all. Kyle, where you at as the Sixers trade Paul George, a pair of ones, a pair of twos, for Jalen Brown?
So I don't know if this is my fault for being who I am or if it's the Sixers' fault for doing this to me, but it's such a good trade that my first thought is, like, what's the catch here?
Yeah, that's basically.
Well, wait, what, huh?
Because I can't think of a flaw in the deal. I mean, you get rid of Paul George. You get an MVP candidate who is, you know, essentially in his prime.
Yep.
And you get him from your rival that you just beat in the playoffs. I don't understand why Boston would do this unless it's, you know, for the reasons you laid out, like they're starting to be stingy with money or something. I have no idea, but something doesn't sit right with me that we just made a trade with the Celtics, a blockbuster trade with the Celtics, and everybody is just going, well, the Celtics got fleeced. I mean, when does that ever happen? And when does it ever happen by the Sixers? Like, the Sixers are not the front office that's creative and bending people over like Howie Roseman does. Like, that's usually the Celtics, where you're like, don't trade with Boston. So, like, I guess it's like too good of a trade that makes me wonder, like, what's going on here? I don't know, but, like, I'm floored by the whole thing. And I got to tell you, like, maybe the most excited I've been for a Sixers season in a long time.
Well, now for the first time, Hugh, they have two or and maybe three. We'll see how quickly Edgecombe grows into the player I think a lot of people think he could be. Mm-hmm. But they have at least two players that can carry them that are not named Joel Embiid. And that's different than we've ever had. Like, it's always had to be somewhat Joel, and maybe they have another guy, like Maxey developed, or they had Harden or whatever, right? Now they have two. Like, if Joel Embiid just sat on the bench the whole season, they'd still be a playoff team.
Like, yeah.
Now, obviously, their ceiling, if he can play and play his best, is a different level.
And then you also have a mechanism now where you can rest Joel Embiid. You could
of course.
You could save him for the rest of the season. You could just pay him sparingly, if you will, and get the most out of him by letting him rest and just putting him out there in the games periodically. Yeah.
I thought we were headed towards purgatory. I thought the next couple of years were going to be running out the clock on George and Embiid. I thought there was zero chance this team would compete, you know, for anything serious. And that changed yesterday with the trade for Jaylen Brown. And I know there are some people out there who say maybe he's a little overrated. Maybe he's not quite as great as you think he is. That's fine. He's a really excellent basketball player that's had a heck of a career. I mean, his career is on the path to the Hall of Fame. He's already made 5 All-Star games, and he's been an All-NBA player and an MVP. You know, he's got MVP votes and a Finals MVP. This guy is an awesome player. And he's now a Sixer. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to it all. Charles in Bluebell starts us off here on WIP. Charles, good morning.
Charles.
All right. What's up, guys? Listen, yesterday, we will never forget yesterday. Think about it. You have a tale of two cities. What's going on? The excitement in Philadelphia, the dread in Boston, and then the city in the middle, New York City, who can't believe we got Jaylen Brown. And then in New York City yesterday, two idiots decided to climb the Empire State Building.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, he was showing me that yesterday.
That was crazy. You know?
Yes, it was. That was insanely crazy. But, you know, the Knicks already know, you know, Philly's gotten better. Toronto's gotten better. Miami's gotten better. They know the Knicks, the championship is just a one-year rental for them. You know, we are back in contention, at least for the Eastern Conference Finals, and we do have to build with the team a bit.
Well,
thanks,
we
do. You got to get some bench players. Yeah, got to get some bench.
They have more work to do, and Charles, we appreciate the call. They have more work to do, Hugh, but it is becoming now, it does feel like the NBA, what are we on, 7 or 8 straight years of a new champion? It feels like you have your time, you have your year, and then it's someone else's turn. That's the new NBA.
Yeah.
I think part of it is teams can't afford to keep their team together, and maybe that's why. Maybe my gut's telling me that the issue, the main issue with the Brown thing in Boston is I think their new owners are cheap, and I think they looked at the future tax penalties, and they're like, let's just get out of this now. What I can't wrap my mind, like, it is defensible to trade Jaylen Brown. You can trade anyone, right? Players get traded.
Yeah.
But the risk. The fact that they traded him for Paul George and these picks, that I can't wrap my mind around. And credit to Mike Gansey, credit to the Sixers, Jameer Nelson, obviously Bob Myers to top it all. Hugh, for being the team that did it. And that first cut we played where the asking price was Maxey and VJ and 4 first-round picks, for them to like kind of just hold on, wait,
be
patient, hold the line, to where yesterday they were like, yeah, I guess we'll take Paul George in 2-1.
Yeah, because I feel like on Jaylen Brown's, on his side, they probably just got to the point where they just got tired of it. It probably was on the brink of getting real ugly.
And he does seem like he has a personality that maybe could be a little bit wearing on a team.
Well, smart dude, man. Like,
strong-willed
individual. Yeah, no question about that.
Isn't that part of the reason he's probably become the player he is?
Yeah, because he's strong-willed and he's a smart cat. So, yeah, they didn't want to deal with him.
My goodness. What a day for the Sixers yesterday. 215-592-9494. We'll get everyone's phone call up on the other side. Your reaction to the Jaylen Brown trade. The Sixers landed Jaylen Brown for Paul George. Pair of ones, a pair of twos. Is it an incredible trade? I think it's the best player the Sixers have traded for, have acquired, non-draft, since Moses Malone. I mean, we could debate the Harden thing. We could debate Jimmy Butler. I think this version of Brown is better than any player the Sixers have acquired since the day they brought Moses in. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, coming up, your calls. And we got to let you hear some of the reaction up in Boston, Hugh. As much as we react, and we will have a great time reacting over the next week or so here in Philadelphia, to hear the pain in the voices of those up in Boston, you're not going to want to miss this. That's coming up next, Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament is heating up in the U.S. Congratulations, of course, to United States America. Last night. What a big win, and they're on to the final 16. And, of course, we are now in the knockout range and knockout of the tournament. And the United States won last night on Calcio. You could trade every match from the opening stage all the way to the final. Look, we have to look at the U.S. and where they're at right now. They have a 4% chance to win it all, which means a $100 trade on the U.S. to win it all pays out $2,179. On Calcio, you're trading its peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you could buy in and out of your position for a limited time. Download the Calcio app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. K-A-L-S-H-I, Calcio. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see calcio.com/regulatory.
I mean, this is my personal opinion on basketball. Some of y'all might disagree. You know what I mean? But argue with your grandma. Flopping has ruined our game. Joel Embiid is a great player, one of the best bigs in basketball history. Flops. He know it. This ain't breaking news. This ain't, you know what I mean? It is what it is.
Well, and now they're teammates. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas.
Argue with your grandma.
Joe Gilly, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Yeah, that'll be a fun question. I'm sure he gets his introductory press conference, which I expect would be next week. This is not the kind of trade you just like, oh, yeah, we'll see you in October or September for training camp.
Because we're getting ready for the weekend. It's about to be turned up in the city.
Yeah, this one should have a press conference next week. I can't wait. I can't believe the Sixers landed a player this good for that package. It is incredible. 215-592-9494. All right, let's quickly play a couple of clips of reaction from Boston, then we'll get to everyone's phone calls because you're going to want to hear this. You're going to want to hear the pain in their voices. Let's start Tony Maserati, 98.5, up in Boston. Hugh, here is him breaking the news and giving his initial take as the Celtics trade away Jaylen Brown.
Let me begin right here. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it with a freaking passion. This was a salary dump or a contract dump, or define it however you want. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous trade. Paul George is 36 years old, and to save 1 year of money, 1 year of money, Jimmy, is what you're telling me, that George is getting paid for the next two.
Yep.
Is there any sort of player option or anything after that?
Not that I'm seeing.
So the Celtics just traded a guy that they took with the number three pick in the draft, who's been here 10 years, who's MVP of the NBA Finals, wingman to Jason Tatum, if not his equal, pretty damn close. And they traded him to the Philadelphia 76ers for a 36-year-old guy who looks like he's getting near the end. There was a little bit of a resurgence there in the postseason. But a guy who's been a failure pretty much everywhere he's gone since he left Indiana. Two firsts and two seconds. I hate it.
Hugh, I think he hates it.
With the fire of a thousand suns, Joe.
Well, so that was their afternoon show. Let's hear their evening host, Joe Murray, last night, who was even more colorful in his description of the trade.
This was Jaylen effing Brown. NBA Finals MVP. All-star. One of the top 10 players in the league. A guy that was the alpha on the team. And you let him go for what? For what? Future money? You didn't have to trade him. You could have played at least till the trade deadline. See how it works. You could have moved them then. Nope. You moved them today for Paul George and two bad first-round picks and second-round picks. You had multiple options on how to handle Jaylen Brown, who, by the way, reportedly has never asked for a trade. If you wanted to move Jaylen Brown, you didn't have to do it today. You could have done it midseason. You could have done it before the trade deadline. You could have done it next season. You had 3 years to potentially do this, and you chose today, and you chose the 76ers, and you chose Paul George? This is a horrific trade. This is an absolute dump. You dumped one of the best players that you have seen in this organization.
I can't remember a trade, at least recently. You mentioned the Luka one. That's an interesting comp. But like locally with one of our teams, Hugh, that on one side, the team that we acquired the player from, everyone's mad. Like every Celtics fan you hear, like those two, are losing their minds. And every Sixers fan, maybe there's a little like, hey, what's the other side of the story here? But for the most part, it's like, this is amazing. Like It seems so straightforward that they're upset and we're happy. And trades like that don't – usually you can kind of see the middle ground in both in a trade.
Mm.
Nobody sees it in this one.
Yeah, like I said, to me it's the Luka Doncic situation. It's the same thing.
But who called the favor? In the Sixers?
I think they did. I think they called in a marker. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. It's one of those things where you heard rumors about them thinking about moving on from Jaylen. And for us to get him, it had to be a favor. It had to be.
My theory is the ownership in Boston, it just doesn't want to pay the tax anymore, and they're capped out, and they just want to get ahead of this. But they made a bad trade. Like, there's two parts of it. One, I think there's a reason they did it. Then the second part is, I just think they made a bad trade. I mean, this trade is a joke for the Celtics, and it looks like it could be franchise-changing for the Sixers. Jeff in Wilmington's up. Let's react as the Sixers land Jaylen Brown from the Celtics. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Jeff.
So, I think Hugh was right. Hugh, you're right on this. There had to be I don't know all the ins and outs of the NBA trading and all that stuff. But didn't they offer him up, Jaylen up, in another trade, and the other team turned him down?
So they kind of had
to do something.
Yeah, the one that was out there a few weeks ago was when they were trying to get Giannis before Giannis landed in Miami, that they were willing to trade Jaylen. Like, and I can understand why their fans up there are losing their minds, right? Like, 2 weeks ago, it's like, would you trade him for Giannis? And now they ended up trading him for Paul George and a couple first-round picks.
That's where I think the Sixers took advantage of a situation where they're like, oh, well, they definitely want to get rid of him. So that gives us the advantage. Maybe we don't have to give up as much if they were looking to get rid of the guy. I don't know why they would. He seems like a pretty good player. So
he's an excellent
player. Did I hear that one guy in that soundbite say Joel Embiid is the best big man ever, or did he say one of the best?
No, Jaylen Brown said that he's one. I think he said one of the best.
That was Jaylen Brown. Yeah,
yeah. When he was talking about
one of. Okay, that's true. One of the best, definitely.
Yep.
Not the best for sure.
Right, right. Yeah, he's not that delusional.
Yeah.
But now, now they're teammates.
So, are we going to make a play for LeBron?
Yes. You know what, Jeff?
And we should.
You know what, Jeff? That's what everybody's thinking. Nobody wants to say it because they don't want to jinx it. But you know that might be the one. We're just waiting to see what happens.
I would. I mean, why not? If it's not going to cost much, if it's just a signing, a free agent signing, well, I would, man. What the heck?
Well, of course, I mean, from a basketball perspective, it's perfect now, right? You have your two guards. You have your three in Brown. Obviously, LeBron could play the four, and then you have Embiid. I mean, Jeff, good phone call. Yes. Hugh, I do have – do you want to hear the Kalshi percentages on LeBron's next team?
Let me see them. Let me hit them. Let me go ahead. I might have to
All right. The favorite, the highest percentage, 38%, the Cleveland Cavaliers, as he would go home again.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, the Golden State Warriors at 31%, then the Miami Heat at 16%, and then fourth, Hugh, on the list of LeBron's next team, your Philadelphia 76ers.
Hey, it might happen.
Well, I mean, look, I'll put it this way. It's still probably a long shot, but 6% isn't 1%. Like, they are fourth on the list. And Tony Jones for The Athletic last night reported that the Sixers have reached out to LeBron James. If his goal, like, I don't know what he wants, right? I don't know if he wants to just go home, if he wants to play with Steph, if he wants to do a documentary. I don't know what his objective is. If his objective is to win next season, then the Sixers have a spot and a team that fits him. I mean, from a basketball perspective, of course I want LeBron James. Zach is in Princeton. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, guys? First-time caller. I was just hoping to give my input on this trade. And I think from a value perspective and, like, why we're all so excited about this is that when you look at it at face value, it looks like we just absolutely fleeced the Celtics, which is true. It's absolutely true, but my concern and why I think we should be cautiously optimistic is it feels like having all these ball-dominant players with Maxey, with Brown, with Embiid, even Edgecombe last year liked having the ball in his hands, but he's going to have to play a different role. We're going to need players to make sacrifices of some sort to make this all work together. And I just, like, when I look at the last four teams that won a championship being Denver, OKC, Boston, and the Knicks, they were all kind of comprised of complementary pieces around a star or two. And it feels like, especially with Embiid slowing down Maxey and, you know, some of the analytics with Brown in Boston is that when he was on the floor, they were worse these past couple of years.
So I'm excited from a value perspective. I get to be delusional again as a fan, but I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on the fit with all these ball-dominant players together and, like, how likely you think it is that that these guys are willing to make sacrifices for the greater good of the team.
It's a good, Zach, I think it's a good question, and I think you're right about the way the NBA has went. Zach, we appreciate the call. Call again. He's not wrong in the way the league has moved, right? It's moved away from two or three dominant, ball-dominant stars
it's
and
more
then
of a,
scrubs.
Team.
More of team basketball.
Team basketball.
Let's just go to the team that most recently won a few weeks ago, the Knicks, right? The whole thing revolves around Brunson, and then everyone else just kind of does their – plays their little role.
But there were other elements and aspects of that team that made it go.
Yeah, but those guys understood their role as Brunson's going to get the ball and have the ball 40 or 50% of the time, and you get your shots when you get them. I think what he's saying is Maxey is now used to having a big role. Brown just had a year where he was the sun and the moon and the stars of the Celtics, and obviously Joel has been the main guy for a lot of years. So if it's going to work, and I think it will, someone has to sacrifice, right? There's not enough shots for them all to have as many as they've had at their peak. But look, it can work. I mean, basketball history is littered with these kind of teams. Now, this era is a little different, but littered with these kind of, I mean, when the Heat were put together, right? LeBron was his own team. Mm-hmm. Wade was his own team. Bosch was his own team, and they sacrificed. Bosch was the one that sacrificed the most. You go back in the day when the Rockets put together, you know, Barkley going with Drexler and Olajuwon. Like, there's many examples of teams having superstars, and they sacrifice for the greater good. So it can happen. There probably will be an adjustment period.
I look at it like this because of what I've seen in the past with the Sixers. Maxey does a good job, in my opinion, of adjusting to whatever is asked of him. I don't think he's in a position right now, even though he is a star, he's a rising star, him or VJ, I don't think they're in a position right now where they feel like they could say, well, hey, this is my squad. I think, to be honest, coming in, out the gate, this is Jaylen Brown's squad now. I think when you talk about how decorated he is, he has the hardware, and he's a guy that I feel like with the ball in his hand, he's going to make everybody else better. Because you talk about Maxey and last year, how he was leading the league in minutes played. Now you have another player on the court that takes some of that pressure off of Maxey. He can still do his thing, but he doesn't have that kind of pressure because I feel like in listening to Spike and Ike and those guys, shout out to the afternoon show, talking about him, it was one of those things where he had moments where he had the lead and he just couldn't get the job done. Now you got somebody that – now you got Batman. Because I guess in this iteration of the Sixers, he was more Nightwing than Batman. You know what I mean? Nightwing was cool. Nightwing got the job done. See, I'm trying – for all my DC comic nerds out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Nightwing was a pretty good fighter. He grew up – he was Robin at one time. Uh-huh. He grew up and he became, you know, his own thing.
Right.
But he wasn't Batman. You know what I mean? So now we got Batman. Yep. We got Batman and Nightwing. And then we got VJ. He can be Robin. You know what I mean? So now we got some people. Max gets it. Max knows what I'm talking about.
I do think the VJ as Robin thing that works.
It's
young.
Yeah, Maxey's Nightwing.
Joel?
Joel. Never mind. I'm gonna keep that one to myself.
Okay. I thought you had another.
I did.
Batman character.
But I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna leave that.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream team, how y'all doing, baby?
Will, what's up?
I'm pretty happy right now, man. Listen, you done went to the team that knocked y'all out in the playoffs. That was a great pickup, man. I just want to say this. I'm cool with the pitch that we gave off because we still own the 2029 top three protected, you know, trade with the picks with the Clippers. So we pretty good on that tip, right?
I was trying to read through how this is going to work. That 28 pick, it could end up being the Clippers pick. It's going to be, I think Boston gets to pick the better of the Clippers pick or our pick that year. So we probably gave away the Clippers pick. But, I mean, if you're going to give away that pick, you want to get a player like Brown back. So I'm okay with it.
Right. Me too. And I just want to say this. Listen, Josh Harris. You got the bread, baby. Go ahead and go after LeBron. Because if you got LeBron, you got Maxey, you got Brown, Dean Wade, and B ain't going to have no choice but to play down low now. Because we're going to have shooters. So maybe that will make him go back in the paint and stay in the paint. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to say, man, these two guys, And I think all our teams, man, when they change the GMs and everything, man, these guys coming in knowing what the team needs and going right after them and getting them, man. And this is what I'm loving about all our Philly teams, man. All of them is doing it and making the changes that they need to be made to make our teams better, man. And I'm loving all the Philadelphia teams. And guess what, man? This was a big pickup. And I love Brown being here. And guess what? Anytime we play the Celtics, you know he going straight in and cooking them. So
well,
listen,
that's
man,
true, Will. That's a really good point. I mean, Hugh and Will, good phone call. We're gonna get a highly motivated player. We're talking about a guy that gave the Celtics basically a decade of really good basketball, won a Finals MVP, and they traded him to a rival. Like Jaylen Brown strikes me as someone who probably takes criticism to heart, probably kind of channels when people doubt him. It seems like that's kind of his personality. We're going to get a very motivated player. Like to me, he's going to come here and try to shove it to the Celtics. Like you didn't just trade me. You traded me to the Sixers.
Yeah. I mean, that's the crazy part about it. You don't trade a good player in the division. You know, and then to your immediate rival.
Who just beat you in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
The only time you do that, I mean, when you said that, the first thing I thought of was Donovan, right? But the Eagles had a feeling Donovan was about to be done, and they were right. Like, you're right. You typically don't see players in their prime traded within their own division. It's very rare. I mean, let alone their own, you know, conference, but the division even more on top of it. Giancarlo's in Sicklerville. What's up, Giancarlo?
How's it going, you guys? How's your guys' morning?
We're doing well. I mean, Jaylen Brown is a Sixer. Giancarlo, what do you think about it?
Jaylen Brown is a Philadelphia 7. Oh, I love it. I mean, you get rid of that Paul George contract for essentially what you give up a first round pick. Since what did Bobby Marks say? We were going to have to give up a first anyway to get off that Paul George deal. And I just saw something just recently that the original asking price for the Celtics was 5 first round picks, Paul George and VJ Edgecombe for Jaylen Brown. I just got to give credit to Mike Gansey, like to be able to stick with the negotiations and bring that price down, like all credit to him. What do you guys think of him as his first month on the job and impressive resume so far? To say
I would say, Giancarlo, if I'm giving him a grade for his first month, it's an A. I mean,
he moved the meter.
I like the draft pick of Filon, and we'll see what he becomes.
Filon,
he's a kid, Filon. But this trade, you're right, Filon. Giancarlo. To go from that asking price, Hugh, to go from, hey, if you want Jaylen Brown, it's VJ and all these picks, and we'll just keep George in there for the salary swap. To get it down to this, Hugh, that's an incredible job by Mike.
Yeah, no question about it, and to stick with it. Like they were talking about how you stuck with it and you still were making phone calls and you were just making sure that, you know, everything was cool, and then it just worked out in your favor.
Yeah, Giancarlo, good phone call. Hugh, the other thing I think about is sometimes aggressiveness wins in sports. Sometimes patience wins, right? Like, patience can win, and I think it
stall won. Them out, Debo.
Well, think about this. Think about all the other teams that made moves in the last couple weeks, right? This is the time the NBA things move fast. You know, LaMelo Ball, right? The Timberwolves traded for LaMelo Ball, right? So that took them basically out of this kind of thing because they used all their assets on that player.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time to be aggressive, but if you wait everybody else out and everybody else spends all their money or all their assets, their picks, whatever, you might be the only one left at the table. Like, I wonder if the Sixers looked around and were like, how many offers do the Celtics have? Like, they could kind of look at the league and kind of see, all right, that team used all their picks here. That team's capped out. Maybe Gansey and Bob Myers were like, they don't have a better offer. Let's just leave it at this. Leave it at Paul George and the picks and see what they say.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just thought about something. That's just like, you know, a bad analogy. At the end of the night, the person at the end of the bar, last person there, be like, hey, you ain't going to do no better than what you're doing right now.
You have no other option.
You got to go ahead and do what you got to do.
Now, why that person has no other option,
I don't know. But it's the only option you got left.
And maybe you don't even want to know.
Yeah, you don't want to know. But it's like, you know, at least you know you ain't going home by yourself.
Well, I didn't play with guys.
That was good timing. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and
be
schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Well, you actually won't be here all week.
No, we about to, like, today, we kind of mailing it in a little bit.
No, mailing it in?
It's an easy show.
Speak for yourself, bud.
It's an easy show.
Well, speaking of, it's not mailing in. It's actually, it's not just an easy show. It's a fun show.
He said speak for yourself. Kyle, you sound like you banged up already. Stop it.
Huh?
No. Nah, Kyle's working tomorrow.
I'm working tomorrow, dude.
Is it the Kyle and Buzz show tomorrow?
That's right.
Oh, that should be awesome.
Uh-oh. All right. Let's get to our Twitter question.
You guys going
to
call in?
I will. It might not be coherent, but I'll call in.
All the better.
At 10 a.m.?
Yeah, it might, you know.
Well, yeah, 10 a.m. should be fine. Maybe by 2 p.m. Get that call in early. I know.
Well, you're always very coherent when we're on the air anyways.
Every day.
I can't even.
All right, what's your reaction to the Jaylen Brown trade? Hugh, four options. Love it, like it, skeptical, don't like it.
Love it, 100%.
No, there's nothing ever 100% with our audience. 78% love it, 11% like it, 9% live in that just have to doubt something world skeptical.
Well, that's kind of like you were there a little bit this morning.
I'll say this. 90% of me is just thrilled.
Hey, okay, what happened? What's wrong with it?
10% of me is like, well, wait.
Wait a minute, what's wrong with it?
Why? You know, like, 10% of me wonders if he's going to show up to the press conference in a cast next week. And, like, there's something about
him. It's going
to
be like, I knew it. You're going to be like, I knew it. Yeah. Okay, I knew it.
I'm in, like, the what's the catch camp, too. But here's the thing. I don't even really care if it doesn't work out. Like, I'm just glad that our front office finally did something outside the box, like, creative, something, like, stunning and fun, like... I don't know. Like, I think maybe I'm just at that spot with the Sixers where I'm just glad that I have something to be excited about.
So what you just said, I think our last caller was mentioned, like, almost the pros and the cons. Mm-hmm. When you think about the price, even if you do wonder, like, hey, maybe the numbers said he wasn't quite as great as the perceptions. Okay. Maybe he has played a lot of minutes and he's about to be 30. All right. Maybe his next 5 years won't be all-NBA, but just rather good, all-starish.
Yeah.
Hugh, even if all those things are true, like, even if there is some reason to have some skepticism about his next 4 or 5 years, you still make the trade, right? Like, think about what they traded. This isn't them giving up their next 6 first-round picks. They didn't give up VJ. That then it would have been more of like a hold on. Are we sure we want to do this? It's Paul George and a couple first-round picks. Like, even Kyle with the fair skepticism or fair questions, it's still a good trade.
Yeah, and not only that, you also have your young guys that can still grow. You still have a young core.
Well, you did. I mean, the fact that VJ, like, if you had told me they got Jaylen Brown this offseason, if you said that to me 2 weeks ago, Joe, they're getting Jaylen Brown, I would have said that meant they traded VJ, right?
Like, somebody going.
I wouldn't have anticipated they could have gotten him without that. David in Westchester's up. What's up, David?
Joe, I love it. 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 Boston sucks. They're incompetent. They're idiots. I love this. I can't believe it. I didn't believe it when I saw it, had to research it. They have made the Sixers relevant in one move. They went from a fallen star to a shooting star, and this is phenomenal news for this organization. It's made them relevant in Philadelphia sports, and I don't see a downside unless he got mauled by a lion on a safari that we don't know about, and I don't think that happened.
Yeah, barring that, it's an incredible trade. When was the last time, David, we said all these things about the Sixers? Smart, forward-thinking, they nailed it. Like, this doesn't happen very often with this team.
I don't remember ever, I don't think. Like, I was waiting for 5 years before I really started investing back into Sixers because I was like, it's going to take that long to get the hinky trash out. And now all of a sudden it's like, geez, they did it in one move, you know? So this is, I mean, I don't see where this is could end badly. And now they got to get LeBron, and they should call LeBron up and say, hey, buddy, we'll take Bronny too. He'll look good as a blue coat. And you take Bronny, you'll definitely get LeBron.
You know what? David, there are crazier thoughts than swapping a second-round pick to the Lakers right now for Bronny to entice LeBron to come. I mean, now we're starting to think.
We're doing the most. Well, that is great. Hold on. I'm not against it.
What's
I'm not
the worst that happens? Bronny sits on the bench all year?
No, I'm not against it. I'm just saying. That's crazy. But, I mean, you know, that's the position you're in because – you know, you're talking about
in for a penny, in for a pound. Let's go.
In contention, yeah.
Let's go. All right, 215-592-9494. Plus, it'd be fun to see how upset Kyle got if they traded a pick for Bronny just to entice LeBron to come. I mean, that to me would be funny. All right, all your phone calls coming up. We'll
Real
get
funny.
To everyone. Also, we have to get to Philly's won last night. Great night for Trey Turner, who is on fire now. Zach Wheeler, not his best night, a shorter start. And boy, he was not happy with the manager, with Don Mattingly, after the game. We'll let you hear what happened with those two last night when Wheeler was pulled. All your phone calls on Jaylen Brown. Plus, you know what we got to do right now? It's a shorter show, so we got to give away right now for you. We have a pair of tickets to the HBCU.
Hughes close?
No. Not today.
You wish, bud.
The vibe of this show is too good to throw Hughes Clues in there today. On a holiday? Come on now. All right.
Rent free.
We have a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic coming up Friday, July 10th, a week from tomorrow, right here at Citizens Bank Park, 7 p.m. is the game. We're going to send you there. Caller number two right now to 445-544-8300. Caller number two, 445-544-8300 wins the pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic. All your calls on Jaylen Brown, and we'll get to the Mattingly and Wheeler thing as well. Midday Show live from Citizens Bank Park on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I got a PSA for everybody. You know when you got that notification on your phone that Jaylen Brown just got traded to the Sixers for Paul freaking George and how extremely happy you were? That's going to be how happy you are when you upgrade your yard with Turf Tech. And even though it's hot as hell outside today, you're still probably going to want to slip outside just to admire and soak in that beautiful Turf Tech lawn. What is Turf Tech, you ask? Well, that's the Delaware Valley's leader in premium artificial grass. It's realistic, low-maintenance turf for homes, pet areas, playgrounds, and commercial spaces. Homeowners, contractors, landscapers can shop premium turf with competitive pricing and fast pickup or delivery. Visit turftech.com. That's TURFTEK.com. Turf Tech, happiness starts from the ground up.
Who's that for, the Sixers?
Well, we won the trade, you know. I mean, that's...
Oh, okay, okay. Champions of the trade.
Yeah, maybe champions one day. I mean, there's certainly a way better chance today than there was 24 hours ago. Welcome back.
Facts.
It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, live from Citizens Bank Park. Now, the first hour is action-packed. We have another one coming up here. We're going to get to something a little, I wouldn't call it an incident, but certainly eye-opening or eyebrow-raising situation last night with Zach Wheeler and Don Mattingly when Wheeler was taken out of the game. We'll get to that coming up. All your phone calls on Jaylen Brown. Also, Hugh, we'll have leading off at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to, I was going to say, we don't usually have a guest for leading off. A lot of times we have the Bulldog, Dave Uram.
The Bulldog, yeah.
Now, listen, I love Dave Uram. He is the Bulldog. Today, we have a different guest. I think it's a, Hugh, would you say it's a little bit of a bigger name for leading off guest today than Dave Uram?
Yes, a little bit.
J-Roll, Jimmy Rollins is going to join us. He is in the park today. He's doing a campaign with Major League Baseball to raise awareness for heart issues with strokes and heart attacks. And it's Playing with Heart is the campaign. So Jimmy's here through the Phillies. And with that today, it is a worthwhile campaign, obviously, and to get awareness out there. So happy to bring Jimmy on. He'll tell us about that. And we'll talk some Phillies. He will join us coming up around 11:30. 215-592-949. Let's grab Jared and Charlotte. And then we'll get to the Wheeler and Mattingly thing last night. And Mattingly spoke here just a few minutes ago about the whole situation. Let's go to Jared down in Charlotte. What's up, Jared?
Hey, today's a great day. Happy holidays to you and Joe, and I hope you guys have a great weekend coming up.
You as well,
you
man.
Too,
happy
Jared.
Holidays.
And it is a happy one. We're going in celebratory into this July 4th weekend.
We got to get banged up real nice.
Yeah, Jared. Totally unbelievable. Today's probably the greatest Sixers day. I thought when we beat the Celtics, that was the best Sixers day since game one of the finals. But this day has surpassed it, especially compounded on top of that. And I think this Jaylen Brown trade was amazing. I mean, and I think it's just the beginning of something much bigger that's going to go a lot longer. Because like when Jerry Jones came into the NFL, he won a couple championships and then destroyed that franchise for 30 years. And I have a feeling this Boston ownership, who's private equity, who makes cold-hearted decisions, not about people, but about money, they are going to destroy this franchise after the 1 year and after winning their championship the 1 year, and they're going to dismantle it. And all of a sudden, I'm not sure if the Sixers took 10 steps forward as opposed to the Celtics taking 20 steps backwards, but we're still ahead by 20.
You know what? That's an interesting perspective. Jared, good phone call, and enjoy the weekend. You know, I mean, look, we're having fun at the Celtics' expense. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the great day for the Sixers to land a player like this and to give themselves a chance the next couple of years. I do, you know, like the Celtics, I thought 2 years ago, were on their way to kind of dominating the Eastern Conference for a while. They had broken. They got to the finals with Brown and Tatum in 22, lost to the Warriors. They get back in 24 and they win it, right? So that meant 2 out of 3 years they were in the finals with those two guys leading the way. Mm-hmm. And if you had asked me, like, the next 5 years, how many times the Celtics could be in the finals, I would have said, I don't know, 2 or 3 more.
Because
like
you thought they were going to keep the band
Yeah,
again.
Maybe win another championship or two. And now, that probably isn't true, right? I don't think they're going to fall off the face of the earth. But, Hugh, this is the kind of deal, if they're dead wrong about this, this has, like, it can reverberate. The Celtics could fall here pretty fast if they're wrong about... Because they think they can replace him. Like, obviously, right? Forget Paul George. That's just...
Yeah.
They got to swap salaries, so Paul George had to be the guy. They think they can replace Jaylen Brown. That That's a big thing, in my mind, to replace.
Yeah, and you talk about what he's been to that team and the way they built that team. Because we were talking about, you know, different teams and the way that they're built. And those guys came up together. They went through the trials together with each other. And then for them to all of a sudden, the relationship just goes sour and they move on from him abruptly. And has everybody wondering what was going on. Like I said, I feel like this was a favor. It feels like this was a favor. It feels like other things that they were asking for weren't happening, and I feel like Jalen at some point just said, you know what, I don't want to be here, and they felt the same thing. It was probably relationship fatigue, and they both just said, you know what, we're just going to move on from you.
Well, I'm just glad it got here, and it got Jalen Brown on the Sixers. 215-592-9494. All right, before we go back to the phones, Hugh, last night, another good Phillies night. How about the way they hit Paul Skenes twice this year?
Yeah, they rocked him.
They rocked him. I mean,
I tell you what, it was to see them score as many runs as they did, man, that's – it gives you – it's refreshing to see. It's definitely refreshing.
Great night. Now, the game got a little close. I think a lot of credit last night for the win goes to Alec Bohm. You're a guy. You're all-star.
The all-star Douglas. Alec Bohm.
That play he made, that diving catch, was a spectacular play. And then hit a home run to kind of give him a little cushion late. So, good night by Bohm. Obviously, Trey Turner is red hot right now. And the Phillies bats hit around Paul Skenes. But, Hugh, he's been hot all week. None of that is the story, though. The story last night after the game – was Zach Wheeler, who had a kind of a weird start where he struck out 10. He had times he was blowing the ball past the Pirates, but gave some base runners, some walks, some bloops in that last inning. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in 53 starts, it's a long time, did not get through five innings. Now, Hugh, I think Zach Wheeler pretty clearly thinks he should have been given the opportunity to get through five innings. Let's hear Zach Wheeler last night after the game on the decision by Don Mattingly to pull him with two outs in the top of the fifth.
I feel like it was kind of a grind for you tonight.
Yeah, I think it was a grind for both of us. I was happy to get that done.
How difficult is it to pitch in the heat?
It was first hot, really hot game of the year, so it takes a little getting used to. But once you get that one out of the way, it makes it a little easier for the rest of them.
Anything you can pinpoint from the grind?
It's a weird feeling. You know, you don't like to come out before finishing five innings, and the fans kind of get around it. Seems like you
wanted
to go off the field.
Yeah, I was upset. Getting taken out of the game.
You'd like to finish five?
Obviously, yeah. I feel like I've earned that.
Talking to Don on it?
Nope.
Will you?
I don't know. Good. Thanks.
You got a lot of passive aggressiveness.
Ooh, so a couple things stood out to me. I feel like I've earned that to get through the fifth inning. And have you talked to Don about it? Nope.
Now, I love Wheeler. That's my guy. But if you feel that strongly about it, you need to they got some nice shoes on too, by the way.
Yes.
If you feel that strongly about it, that's probably the first person you need to talk to, because if I'm the manager and, you know, we have an issue, the last thing that I want to hear is it an issue in the newspaper. You know what I mean? I mean, if you had an issue with it, hey, let's sit down and chop it up. We could discuss it.
Now, to be fair, he's asked about a postgame. He has to do media availability. He didn't put out a tweet or – Zach seems like he's the least online guy. But he doesn't do Insta. He didn't put it on Instagram. He was asked, and he just answered.
But to your point, you pointed out last night that you saw when he was on the mound that he was clearly not happy.
Oh, he was not happy.
Okay, so if you're clearly not happy, say that. Say that in that moment, like, hey, man, I got this or something. Let him know that you got it. It feels a little passive aggressive to me. And you know, I got a lot of love for Wheeler. But if you felt that strongly about it on the mound, you should have said, hey man, let me get this.
So I have two thoughts. My first, I love that he didn't want to come off the mound. I love that about him. Zach Wheeler has an old school thing about him. Like he's
and
in
Don's
this era.
Old school.
Yeah. But pitchers back in the day, like, this doesn't happen very much anymore. They used to wave off the manager or wave off the pitching coach. Like, I'm not coming out of this game. Zach's got a little of that. I like that about him. But I also, Hugh, Don Mattingly has a job to do. And
yes,
Don Mattingly has to try to get this team. And this is – there's two elements to this, and I think it's very hard to do both. The best managers could do it. He's got to have his foot on the gas to win as many games, try to catch the Braves, regular season, all that. He also has to think big picture. This is a guy coming off of surgery.
Totally agree.
Last night was, what, July 1st? There's still a lot of season to go.
And, totally agree.
And the goal is not just to have Zach Wheeler good in July, August, September. We need him at his best on October 26th
totally
to win the World Series. So it's 104 pitches. It's a hot night. I don't think Don Mattingly's crazy for saying, you know what, you've done enough tonight. Let's go.
I don't think he's crazy either, right? But I think Wheeler needs to say something in that moment, and then Don explains it to him.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. You know, you're trying to – sometimes you got to save yourself from yourself. Like somebody has to save you from yourself. So I feel you on that. But I think that the way that the team is going, that Wheels probably could have handled that situation a lot better than he did.
So Don Mattingly was asked about it this morning because I guess the there wasn't time to get Don Mattingly's response before
last night,
Wheels.
Yeah.
Right. So here's Don Mattingly in the dugout just about 20 minutes ago here at Citizens Bank Park, asked about what Wheeler said and his reaction.
I have not at this point. I don't think he wanted to talk to me yet. Maybe he'll settle down and talk to him later, but I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. But in general, it really doesn't bother me at all that he's upset. I think the great ones never want to come out of a game. And he's no different. I mean, I had Kershaw out there. He did not want to come out of games. But from my standpoint, I got to protect not necessarily him. He's at 105 in that inning. His 10 pitch at bat, he's at 115 in the fifth inning. This is a long-term kind of situation. I think you guys know our rotation is obviously a great rotation, but the depth of it is not just filled with, you know, four schemes down in the minor leagues ready to pop in and fill the spot. So, you know, my job is to make sure that this guy stays available, you know, through the course of the season. And we got a long way to go, so I really don't mind guys being upset. That's what the great ones do.
You know what he sounds like? A dad.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dad.
Sounds like someone who's done this before.
That's been there, done that. And like I said, the way Wheels handled it, and I think he handled it well because he said, hey, haven't talked to him yet because he hasn't settled down. So you know he's still mad. So he's not worried about it because he understands his competitive nature.
Yeah.
You know, and Wheels is a competitor. But you could have handled that better. I mean, I'm with you. If you felt like you should have went, you got to think a big picture because if you get hurt, we're screwed.
I love that. We don't exactly have four Paul schemes in the minor leagues.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And he put it in perspective.
Yeah.
And I hope you heard that because that's basically what it is.
We need you.
We need. Dude, we're sitting here trying to figure out. We've had polls over the last couple of weeks. What do we need more of? It looks like the bats are starting to come around, and hopefully that could be the case and they could stay hot. We need pitching. We need some pitching. And the other day, we left Nola out there because we didn't have a bridge to get to the
bullpen was tired. Yeah,
you know what I mean. So you're in the. I understand Wheels is in the moment, but you have to think about what Don's thinking about. He's like, dude, he's already out there. It's hot. What'd you say? 105 pitches. Get him out of there.
Well, and he brought up he's dealt with this before. I mean, sometimes you hear Don Mattingly and you remember not only did he play for a long time, or was a great player, he has a lot of managing experience. He mentioned Kershaw, right? Kershaw was like that. Kershaw didn't want to come out of games, so he dealt with that before. And the other thing I thought was a good point by Mattingly is, Hugh, yeah, so 104, 105 pitches, that's not that big of a deal. But Mattingly brings up the point, I don't know if the next batter is going to be a 10-pitch at-bat, and all of a sudden you're at 115, right?
Yeah.
Then we're in the kind of territory where, like, when was the last time he threw 115 pitches, Zach? Then you kind of have to be wary of that. So I understand. I love that Wheeler has that fire to him. But Don Mattingly was in the right. I mean, if he thinks it's time and let's keep him healthy, he's got to take him out of the game.
And then, you know what, not only that, even when we got a chance to talk to Don at the beginning, before the season started, he's always, when you ask him baseball questions, because when we talked about the lineups and stuff, he immediately goes into the moment. So it sounds like to me when he was having that conversation – he went into the moment, and he tried to explain it in detail the best way that he possibly could. I mean, listening to that, I understand where Wheels is coming from, but he's right. You have to protect yourself from yourself sometimes.
You do. Chris in Middletown up on WIP as we discuss Jaylen Brown being traded to the Sixers. What's up, Chris?
Welcome to the city of Jaylens, man.
There's a lot of Jaylens here in Philadelphia. Now we have a J-A-Y-L-E-N compared to a couple J-A-L-E-Ns, but there's a lot of Jaylens running around now.
Joe, stop with the semantics of spelling. We can't even say names right for the most part. You're worried about spelling?
How would you rank the three Jaylens, three prominent Jaylens?
I'd like us to trade one of them now. I think he wears number one as well.
We have too many? Have we gone over the quota of Jaylens?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I asked you before the show how we rank the Jaylens right now.
Yeah. Right now?
Right now.
Yeah.
Brown?
Carter, Hurts. And Hurts.
I think that's a fair ranking. Go ahead, Chris.
But you did that on purpose.
I hear the Jalenites getting triggered right now by Hugh Douglas, and I love it. Guys, I want to touch on the Jalen Brown thing.
Yeah, fine. That's fine.
They're sensitive folks.
Super sensitive.
They kind of hear what they want to hear. I mean, they are delusional. Jalen Brown, guys, there's nothing to say about this. The guy's a stud. He's exactly what the Sixers need. And he, Joe, you already said this. He's going to take the mantle as the man, and the youngsters get to just do what they do without the pressure on them, which is just absolutely perfect. And, Joey, you're on fire today, by the way. You also compared him to the Moses trade, and I agree. And, guys, it's going to yield the same result. I mean, Sixers, start planning out the map and out the parade right now. It's happening next year. Something, though, Joe, I've been watching the Phillies, and this Jalen Brown trade has got me happy more in a Hugh sort of way, because I feel like this is a message to Mr. Middletown. Do you see what happens when you have the right GM in place? Middletown. Mr. Middletown, the owner of the
Middleton.
John Middleton. Yeah, Middleton.
No.
Yeah.
Middleton.
Not
Middletown. It's the same. No. The same.
Well, listen, Mike Gansey's having a moment. Right, has Mike Gansey jumped Dombrowski in the GM rankings in the city?
Absolutely. He's leading the pack. He's ahead of Howie right now.
No,
Joe.
I wouldn't go there.
He's ahead of Howie.
Huh?
I would. I live in the moment, Joe. I'm a fan. Okay.
Right now,
he's ahead of Howie.
Yep.
Joe, I want to point something out to everybody that's watching this, because I really want Mr. Middleton to have his ears on for this, because we need to get rid of Dumbo. I'm going to compare two players real quick here for you. Batting average wise, 239 versus 256.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought I lost you there. That again, 239 versus shut up, Kyle. 239 versus 256. Player 2 gets the advantage. On base percentage, 287 versus 307. Player 2 gets the advantage. OPS, 655 versus 653. That's practically neutral. Player reveal here, player 1 that lost this comparison, Trey Turner. Player 2, Justin Crawford. That's you, Dombrowski. That's what you're doing right now. Trey Turner, you're a big man. You're a big man that you can't do what Don Mattingly has done and take under control and trade and get rid of him. I hope he stays hot, Joe, so they can trade him. I want to wish everybody a happy, safe 4th of July, especially you, Hugh Douglas. Please don't get yourself tied up in Skip's bedroom over this holiday weekend. Have a great 4th, everyone.
That's a lot, Chris. Happy 4th. Yes, Trey is hot right now. Hopefully it continues. He's been on a heater. Big home run last night off of Paul Skeens. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, we got a lot here, Hugh. We have Jimmy Rollins that will join us coming up in a little bit as we get into leading off. Also, our Phillies Fantastic Auction winner will read the lineup today for the Phillies lineup before first pitch. We'll lead you up to the game. We're live at Citizens Bank Park on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament is heating up in the U.S. On Kalshi, you could trade every match from the opening stage all the way into the final. And after last night, we know the United States is in to the final 16 here in the great big soccer tournament. And right now, the United States trading at 4% to win it all, which means a $100 trade on the U.S. to win would pay out $2,179. On Cal Street, trading its peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you can buy in and out of your position. For a limited time, download the Cal Street app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. KALSHI Kalshi, trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory. You know, I want to give the guy credit. A big night last night. That was a great diving catch.
Yeah.
Stop a rally for the Pirates. And then a home run late to help put it away. Welcome back. It is a midday show with leading off, getting you set for the Phillies and the Pirates, the finale of a four-game set here and the finale of the season series between the Phillies and Pirates. Phillies come in 49-38. The Pirates at 43-44. Starting pitchers, Jared Jones for the Pirates. Allen Ronhell. He's getting his first real start today here.
How cool is
that? No opener. He gets to start it from the first inning. Player to count on, brought to you by Barlow, Buick, GMC, and Woodbury, New Jersey. Honest pricing. Dedicated service every day. Hugh, what are you thinking for the player to count? A lot of offensive players very hot lately.
Alec Bohm.
You know what? Alec Bohm does have one career home run in three at-bats off of Jared Jones.
Bohm.
Is that because you want him in the All-Star game?
Yes.
You want to be right? You want to see me upset?
You know what?
For the integrity of the game?
I have the same obsession that everybody else has. I want to be right about stuff.
Well, of course. Of course, yeah. He's been better lately.
Yeah.
Trey has been on fire. The Trey Turner hot streak. Boy, when Trey gets going, he really – I mean, you remember his first year here. He was abysmal for 4 months and then just went on like a two-month heater after that to kind of rescue his season. So I'm never surprised at the Trey Turner hot streak. I just hope it lasts as long as it can, because usually it's followed by he goes the other way, right? Like, but when he's hot, he can have these weeks where he hits 3, 4, 5 home runs and looks like the player we all want him to be.
Yeah, you know what's funny, man? It's like, I know everybody's feeling it. Nobody's probably saying it, but we're all feeling the fact that the bats have lit up over the last couple of games.
Yes.
And we just want to do everything we can possibly to keep it going. That's it. Because there are some out there that are thinking about the postseason and all this other good stuff, but you just want to keep the bats hot for as long as you possibly can.
Well, and look, the better Trey plays, probably the less need they have for an impact bat. They just need another solid bat.
We need some
pitching. That's going to be huge. And then, look, let's just cross our fingers Ron Hell can get them through another month as a fifth starter, because, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that very few people look at as a long-term thing. So can he just keep them in the game for the next month or so? Today's weather report. Today is certainly an interesting weather report, Hugh, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Philadelphia. For windows and doors that go beyond, visit the pros at PellaPhilly.com. Hugh, they're giving out water bottles at some of the entrances today, and that is kind of the Phillies and necessary because it is hot. We're talking about 101 for game time today. Hugh Douglas, it's hot out there.
Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable to play baseball. So what you got to do out here today, if you're out here today, people, stay hydrated. Make sure you stay hydrated. And you know, take breaks when you need to take breaks. No question about it.
Yes, you see our friends Phil and Phyllis?
Yes, Phil and Phyllis.
In front of us here hanging out. Hugh, speaking of the All-Star balloting, voting ends in 34 minutes. So if you want to vote one more time,
you know what?
Stuff that ballot box.
Stuff that ballot
box. For Alec Boehm. All right, 215-592-9494. We got a lot left in leading off, including Jimmy Rollins set to join us here in the booth. And Derek, our winner of the Phillies Fantastic Auction, will read you the Phillies lineup before we hand it over to Greg Murphy. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Leading off on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Is leading off Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're going to have Derek, our Phillies Fantastic Auction winner, with us before we hand this over to Greg Murphy to deliver the lineup today. Hugh, as the Phillies play their fight. You know what's kind of weird? It kind of gives you a sense of how far into the season we are. After today, the next time the Phillies are back here, and not all of them will be, Hugh, is the All-Star game. The Phillies go on a very long road trip after today.
Wow.
Three central teams, Kansas City, Detroit, and Cincinnati. And that leads right to – we only have a week left before the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
It's warm. The weather's warming up really, really nice. It should be a good time.
Well, and here's the thing. The Phillies – now, look, it's baseball, right? We'll see how they play in the next week or two. But they get to face three teams. Now, the Tigers have heated up a little bit. They're trying to rescue the season. The Royals are bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Reds, I would say, are below average. Hugh, it's not crazy to think that the Phillies – could find themselves in first place by the time the All-Star game is here.
Still, what, 2.5 out, right?
2.5.
2.5, yeah. That's plausible, especially when you talk about the way the bats have been heating up lately. That's plausible.
Definitely. Well, it is more than plausible. It is certainly possible for the Phillies to be in that position as soon as the All-Star break is here, which is coming up in a little bit. And we'll see how many All-Stars they have. Voting for the All-Star game
Alec
ends
Boehm.
In 34. It could be Boehm. It could be Marsh.
Alec Boehm.
How about a guy that was an All-Star at one point for the Philadelphia Phillies? He joins us right now. Jimmy Rollins going to join us live on Leading Off as we get set for the Phillies and the Pirates. And Jimmy's here for a special cause, not just the baseball. Jimmy, how are you today?
I am busy. I am well.
You're looking all grown, man.
I know, right?
looking like an adult up in here.
I'm great, though. I'm great. I'm enjoying my time in Philly, as I always do.
Well, Jimmy, we're happy to have you and talk about the Phillies a little bit, but tell us why you're here today specifically, playing with Hart and the campaign you're doing with a bunch of other former baseball players.
Yes.
And Charlie Manuel. Tell us about the campaign and why it's so important to you.
It's heart health awareness, and it's important because, one, we can't live without our hearts. It's the number one killer in this country, heart disease, and personally, I've seen it firsthand now with my father passing away a month ago. My aunts passed away, my grandmother passed away, and even myself knowing that I have elevated bad LDL, which is low density lipoprotein cholesterol, which is what LDL stands for. It's always acronyms like, what is it? It's simple. It's bad cholesterol. It's the fats that can block your arteries and leads to a higher risk of stroke and heart attack. And as scary as it is to know, you know, to think of how scary it is to know. It's even worse to not know. You exercise, and then all of a sudden you're feeling something, and we all want to self-diagnose ourselves. We're healthy and working out. It doesn't matter what you look like or how you feel on the outside. You could be the top shape of your life. Inside, maybe telling a different story. And it may not be anything that you're doing. In my case, it's DNA. We know that it runs in my family.
You know what's funny, J-Ro? Because I was telling I was telling Joe about this, because I take cholesterol medicine. Mm-hmm. And for me, initially, it was kind of hard to realize that, you know, because you work out every day, you know, everything yep. you're talking about, you're not really eating bad. So my question for you, was it kind of hard to hear and know that, you know, you kept yourself in pretty good shape to actually get on it and start taking it?
Oh, I mean, I'm not taking anything, but yeah, the pride, ego, what? I'm this? Of course, it was my mind. It was the off season. I was eating everything I wanted.
Yeah, cheeseburgers,
everything. When the season starts, I'll be fine. And sure enough, every year in spring training, those numbers were slightly elevated. And the last time I was tested was a year and a half ago. I would think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, they're slightly elevated, and it's okay. I've seen it. My numbers have been about where they are since I first started getting tested.
So it's not nothing. It's not high.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be high, like what, 159 or so is high, or something mm-hmm. like that. And I'm like 162. So I'm at the beginning of what high is, but it's been there, so I know it exists. It was just in my mind, it was due to the off season where I was eating, but getting educated and going, seeing my father go through it and learning more about it. It had less to do with eating what I wanted to do in the off season than I thought. So yeah, your question, yeah, ego and pride get you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
but go see your doctor. Go get checked out.
And Jimmy, I think it's important to know, especially I bet there's a lot of people out there listening. They're like in their 20s or their 30s. Like, I don't worry about that yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a player during your era of playing. Daryl Kyle was a great pitcher, and unfortunately,
yes.
he passed. You know, a young man.
Yep.
I mean, his 30s, and so this could. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. You
nope.
need to be on top of this.
You need to be on top of it, and it's simple. You go to playingwithheart.com and take the first step. And a lot of times, it's just doing the research yourself that takes that fear away. Of like, okay, this is what it is. Let me try it, and don't be a self-doctor. Don't try to diagnose yourself. Don't try to solve it without knowing what the proper steps are. You get to a doctor, get on a program, and then you have a chance.
Playingwithheart.com. And there's a booth here today, right? It's at Citizens Bank
yes.
Park, right?
Yes.
I was walking
right out in left the Wall of Fame
yep.
area.
Yep, right. So
it's hot out there, though.
It's warm.
Oh, yes.
It's warm.
Well, they're giving out waters over there. So get your water as you come
water.
In the park. You could go
yes.
stop at the booth.
Yes.
Boy, it's hot out here. Now, when you first were here, I mean, the vet was here. How hot was it on the vet field when it was a day like
right.
this?
Right, 118. I think the highest we saw it was 118. And I'm playing shortstop, and from the dugout, the vet, you know, as you sat beneath the field, you can see the heat wave get above the wall.
Yeah, that's when you know it's real.
It's hot.
you know it's real.
Sitting there, he's laughing at me like, Jim, you ain't got no chance. You know, you stuck right in the middle of it. But that's what's nice about this ballpark is that it is natural. You're not getting that heat off the turf. But when they wet the field, and you know that water
moisture.
Comes up,
yeah,
oh my gosh!
Yeah, and it's hot.
Now
your feet, your
now
feet
now
hot.
Now you're being steamed.
Yeah.
Being steamed.
Like a lobster. Like a lobster.
Jimmy Rollins joining us here on Leading Off. Jimmy, let's talk about the team and the way they're playing right now, which is, man, what? Let's talk about Don Mattingly, the
mm-hmm.
job you think he's done. Look, mm-hmm. Topper was a good Phillies manager. Everyone liked Topper, but the team wasn't responding early this season. They were 9-19. They make the switch, and now the talk's about Don Mattingly maybe being more of a long-term guy and being manager of the year. What do you think about the job Mattingly's done since taking over?
He's done a hell of a job, and it's funny how life happens, right? Don was done with baseball last year.
Yeah, he was chilling.
Just got a call, and Dombrowski's like, hey, we want you to come be a part of it. He considered it. I'm not sure what the conversation was, but he's here. And I had a chance to play with Don in 15, under Don in 15. And I know the type of person he is as a manager. He didn't forget how hard it is to go out there every single day. He understands and respects you being a big leaguer, you having your own schedule. He's not trying to control things. And I was 3 days in the spring training, and all the guys planted for the Dodgers, none of them really played on the East Coast. And it was like he'd been waiting to say this for years. He's like, a lot of you guys could have made it on the East Coast. Isn't that right, Jimmy? And I'm like, bro, I'm the new guy here. What are you doing? But he just wanted to let them know that I understand how as difficult as you think it is, it's much more difficult on the East Coast. So for him to know that, mm-hmm. to understand how the East Coast mentality is, to take over a team that was 9-19, he was the perfect guy. He was one. You could look at his track record. I don't know mm-hmm. how he's not a Hall of Famer. When you bring that to a clubhouse, on top of that, he still can relate to today's player. He's a perfect guy.
You know, it's funny that you talk about that because we've heard players in the past talk about the guy that carried the stick and all that other good stuff. Mm-hmm. How important is that? Like, because in football, it's a little different because, you know, you got coaches that never played the game, but they're X and O's guys.
Right, right.
For a player, how important is it for you to know that you're with somebody who understands undoubtedly what you're going through on a day-to-day basis?
You know he's going to have your back when you struggle because he struggled.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what it's like to go one for your last 20 to strike. Well, he probably doesn't know what it's like to strike out two or three times in the game. But he understands that's part of the game. He also understands the X's and O's, which he does. But he's going to go with his gut at the same time. I know what the numbers say, but my eyes are telling me something else. He's not stuck to the book because he has experience. He's lived it. He's breathed it. And when you know that, you consider that, and you hear this term, and especially in baseball, he's a player's manager. That doesn't mean he's soft on his players. Mm-hmm. He understands his players, and he's going to be that buffer between what's going on up there, what's going on out here, and what's happening in that clubhouse. And you can count on that. When you have a guy that you can count on in that way that understands the ins and outs and the struggles, the highs and the lows, it makes going out playing baseball a lot easier.
Jimmy Rollins with us here on Leading Off. Jimmy, the NL East, I mean, at one point it was 11 games.
It was crazy.
Now they're within 2.5. And we were before you hopped in, talking about the schedule, Phillies go on the road after this, three teams that have losing records. It's not crazy to think they come home for the All-Star game. They might be in first place. What a turnaround.
They can. The Braves will still have to lose, but to make up 9 games
crazy.
Before the All-Star break is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and look, and I've been on TV and I said it on Tuesday. Look, I have to say sorry because the division was over. The way they were playing.
You weren't the only one that thought.
Look, the way they were playing, there was no light at the end of the tunnel. There was no fight. It wasn't like, oh, they're losing by one in every game. They were getting their butts beat. And it's okay, well, is that window closed? And we know in sports there's a window. You get older. You don't get older and better. There's a certain point where you get past the better. You know, and that's what it was looking like. So to make up those many games, and I said this earlier, they are the epitome of what the Fighting Phils are. It didn't matter what everybody on the outside was saying. They found something. They made the change in the managers. They found something within themselves to get them to this point right now. They're right back in the thick of things, and it's beautiful Philly.
So you said you don't get better with age. Kyle Schwarber's trying to change that opinion, though. I mean, doesn't it feel like he's getting better as he gets older? It's remarkable.
So, like I said, there's a point.
Yeah.
There's a point, and he's peaking right now. One thing I can say in today's sports, the way they take care of their bodies, the knowledge that they have, the willingness to spend the money to sustain a certain level of play, it's showing up. It's showing up in not just baseball, but in every single sport.
It really is. Jimmy, we appreciate you being with us. One more time, tell us about the campaign and tell us where everyone could go to get their – if they're coming to the park today, out by the Wall of Fame, they'll see the booth. But tell us where they can go online to check it all out.
Yeah, we'll start there. Go online with planwithheart.com. Heart health is important. It's America's number one killer. So get your number. Know your number. Meet with the doctor. Get a plan. Take care of yourselves because – you don't want to, you know, leave your loved ones sooner than you have to. We all have a time on this earth, and we all know that. But do what you can that you can prevent things and live as long as you possibly can.
Jimmy, great message. So glad we could do this today. Enjoy the game. It's a hot one, so stay hydrated out there.
Stay hydrated.
Yes, but we appreciate you hopping on with us here on Leading Off. On the other side, Derek, who is our Phillies Fantastic Auction winner, will give you the Phillies lineup right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. You know, I don't know if we'll ever have a better guest list for a Leading Off you. I mean, to go from J-Roll to the Bulldog.
To the Bulldog.
And then we're going to have Derek, our Phillies Fantastic Auction winner, read the lineup coming up. And we go right now to our guy Dave Urem in the booth, who was just down there as Don Mattingly tried to smooth over potential issue with Zach Lewis. How you doing, Dave?
What's up, guys? Boy, what an eventful night last night here in Philadelphia sports, and, you know, with the Sixers at the ballpark.
It was a great day, man.
Yeah.
It's always amazing, Dave, because in a game, you never know what the story will be. And look, there's a lot of great things last night. Bohm had a great game with the catch and the home run. Trey is red hot. But the story became that Wheeler thing. Mm-hmm. And, Dave, I have never seen Zach Wheeler that upset. And, you know, he's an interesting guy because he's kind of cold and calculated and quiet. But when he speaks, he gives you what he wants to say. He was not happy last night that Don Mattingly took him out of that game.
He was very short. He was very brief. and you could tell right away, standing about a couple of feet away from him, that he really didn't want to talk to anybody last night at that point. So I had a question in mind, and I'm very glad that I did not ask that question, because I don't know if it would have gone over very well.
What was that question, Dave Uram?
That was if he felt like his pitches were more accurate, because he wasn't happy with the accuracy of his pitches in recent starts. So I had a feeling that answer, the question would not have gone over.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't have. He seemed
a little tight. It's a good question, though, Dave.
It is a good question.
Dave and the team right now, besides the Wheeler thing, it's playing good baseball. And boy, the offense, Dave, after the first couple months of not good, they've really heated up to the point where they have well over 100 home runs as a team now. I mean, they're on pace to be a 200 home run team again, which is something, if you had said that in April, I would have said, I don't know about that. But the power's really coming, especially Marsh, who now is at, what, 15 or 16, and Trey and Boehm around 10. So they're starting to help out just Harper and Schwarber.
I mean, I think the record under Don Mattingly speaks for itself. 40-19 is exceptional. And, you know, Mattingly pregame today, I'm sure you guys played it. Mattingly said that he's not upset that Wheeler's mad. He actually likes that Wheeler's mad because it means he wants to pitch. But he stuck to his conviction that he was doing what he thought was best for the team, and that's making sure Wheeler was available. Did not speak to him at that time yet, but, you know, plans to do so, of course. And for what it's worth, you know, we didn't talk to Zach this morning, but just from generally observing him in the clubhouse this morning, he seemed fine. He seemed
water off the duck's back.
You know, he's smiling. He was having some fun with a couple of teammates. It seemed like Zach was in a better mood this morning.
Well, that's good, and I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm sure they'll figure the whole thing out. Dave, last one for you as we head towards the final. So they'll play today here against Pittsburgh, and then they hit the road. Dave, we were just discussing it with ourselves, and then when J-Roll was in here, there is a chance that they come back from this long road trip to Detroit and Cincinnati and Kansas City in first place. It's not crazy to think this team could go from 11 back to first place within the first half of the season. That's remarkable.
It's a great turnaround. But I maintain this, and I'm going to maintain this throughout the whole way. If they win the division, that's really good. But and obviously they're not going to try to lose games. But the best scenario for them is to win the division, but be the third team. Be the third seed and not one of the teams with the byes, because we have
you're anti-bye.
We have enough of a sample size.
Do we have enough
with this Phillies team?
Oh, the Phillies.
I'm not making
an excuse of the bye. Obviously other teams have done fine with the bye and have won championships, but this Phillies team has enough of a sample size over four seasons that week off doesn't do them any good. Starting right away does them good. And honestly, being an underdog going on the road in the DS, they've done better with that than they have being here. Because all you got to do out there is split, and then you come here to this place at 1-1. If you lose a game here or two like you did last year, you're in trouble going on the road.
Well, Dave, the other thing, if we assume the Dodgers will end up the one, which they typically do, yep. You know, they're the easiest bet to make. If they're the three or the two, they position themselves on the other side of the bracket of the Dodgers. I thought last year, you know, as good as they were playing going in, it's like right away you play the other best team, right? It's like the two Titans playing in the, you know, I'd rather play them in a seven-game series and kind of do it that way. Dave, we appreciate
Thanks,
you hopping
guys.
On with us. Enjoy the game. And Dave, stay cool today.
Stay cool, bro.
Hydrate.
It's hot out there.
Shade.
All right.
Sunscreen.
The Bulldog, Dave Uram, talking to us there. And Hugh, I think that's good to hear that Wheeler, in the clubhouse himself this morning. You said duck off water off a duck's back. Yeah, I mean, I imagine he was upset last night, and now he's going to move on. And I'm sure at some point him and Mattingly will talk about what's going to be curious is the next time
something like that happens.
It's the fifth or sixth inning.
I think you'll have a better understanding next time. I mean, you have to, because we're in a situation where, like, because I would assume explaining it the way that Don explained it, Wills will get that. He'll understand that.
Yep.
Because we're thin at pitching, and, you know, you got to have him around for as long as you can possibly have him.
You do, and you need him. All right, so joining us now, our third guest of leading off, and a special one here, Derek, our winner of our Phillies Fantastic Auction. And today and this year, Hugh, our auction item was to hop on the air live with us at Citizens Bank Park, and Derek is going to get to read the Phillies lineup. So, Derek, welcome to leading off in WIP.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for donating. That's why you're here, and it obviously goes to a great cause. And, Derek, as part of this, we're going to go to a game together. Now, we're going to go to a different game because today is a bit hot. Today, this is one of the hottest games I've ever been at. Yeah. It's hot out there, Derek.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to get a great game, and we're going to go to a game later this season, me and you and Hugh and your wife. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
Derek,
cooler.
Do you want to present to everyone listening the Phillies lineup today?
I'm looking forward to it.
Let's go ahead. Let's hear it, Derek.
All right. Well, leading off, playing shortstop, we have Trey Turner. Batting second in the DH, we have Kyle Schwarber. Batting third and playing first base, we have Bryce Harper. Batting fourth and playing left field, Brandon Marsh batting fifth and playing third base. We have Alec Bohm batting sixth and playing second base. We have Bryson Stott. In the seventh spot, we have Gabriel Rincones Jr. and playing right field. In the eight hole, we have Justin Crawford playing center field. And batting ninth, we have Marshawn catching. And on the mound, we have Alan Rangel making his first start in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, the first real start he gets to have. Yeah. So now that you've read the actual lineup, do you have a take on the lineup? Do you like the way that Mattingly does the lineup? Do you like Turner in the leadoff spot, Schwarber too? What's your take on the way the Phillies do their lineup most days?
I do like it over the top. You do nice having speed on the top. You have people on the base for Schwarber and Harper to drive him in. Bohm's been picking it up recently, so you kind of got that right-left splits going and makes it good for him.
Well, Bohm's Hugh's guy. I mean, I don't know if you heard. We were here opening day, and Hugh made a prediction that – what was it?
15 home runs.
Well, I think you said 30.
I don't recall.
Oh,
that.
You said it was a 15?
I think it was 15.
Well, he's at 10 now, Hugh. So.
Yeah, so I'm almost there.
Yeah. And
I look like a saint.
Well, I'm not sure about all that. But yeah. You have, I think we have 8 minutes left to vote for the All-Star game. I think 12 o'clock is like the cutoff, Hugh. Are you getting one more vote in for Alec Bohm?
I'm working on it, man. I'm looking at the phone now. I'm trying to get one more vote in. But like lately, it's only been letting me vote on the computer only like once a day.
But you're allowed to go up to 5 times a day.
Yeah, but on the computer, it was once a day.
Well, listen, we'll see if Bohm makes it. We'll see if Stott makes it. Marsh is the guy, though, Derek. To me, Marsh is the one that deserves everyone's vote. What a year he's had. It's been amazing.
Marsh is unbelievable. He's finally given up to the potential everyone thought he was going to be. He's a fan favorite. Now he's playing like everyone expected him
to. Look, I mean, Hugh, he was a first-round pick back in the day, you know, way back when he was with the Angels. Like, once in a while, those first-round picks, it takes a while. Like, sometimes they're late bloomers. Like, he looks now like he was a first-round pick.
Yeah, you know what's funny? He was part of the daycare when I first got here, and they kind of carried the team for a couple months. Now it looks like he's getting back to that. So it's good to see.
Well, it's great, and the Phillies need it because, you know, their lineup, as we talked about, has been, you know, for most of the year a struggle. But now they're red hot, and guys, if Trey Turner, Derek, if Trey Turner hits the way he has this week, then you can start dreaming on what this lineup is.
No, then what's going to stop him at that point?
I know, with the starting pitching they have, and especially, and Hugh Duran at the back of games. It's just so nice to have a closer. Like, when he came in last, I know they made the lead 4, right? They got it up to 4 runs, 10-6. It's just, doesn't it feel with Duran this year basically automatic when he comes in the game?
Yeah, because he's throwing that straight gas. And hopefully we won't have to see him today. But if we do, like he throws hot fire, it's going to be like probably smoking.
Yeah, well, it's smoking out there.
Yeah, it's smoking
with
hot.
The weather. Do you ever play in a game? Well, I guess the pickle juice game,
Jacksonville.
Right? Jacksonville.
Pickle juice game. Yeah, played in a few in Dallas. I remember because it was 100-something degrees, and everybody was kind of complaining about the weather. But no, we made it through. You just got to hydrate on days like this. I'm pretty sure the Phillies knew that. You know, looking at the weather report going into this week. They probably put a heavy emphasis on being hydrated so that you won't cramp up and things of that nature. So they should be fine. But it's the people outside, the people that are at the game. Those are the ones that have to stay hydrated, man. I know we'd like to come and have, you know, our adult beverages and everything, but make sure.
Have some H2O in there.
Yeah, you make some water in there with that, man, because you do not want to be hydrated.
Well, speaking of
dehydrated.
I think it's third base and left field gate. They're handing out water when you come in. So if you're driving in now and you're about to park, they are giving out water today. So take advantage of it. Hydrate. Enjoy the game as the Phillies go to win 3 out of 4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Their final game of the season against Pittsburgh in terms of the season series. Yeah, they've played well against Pittsburgh. They beat them out there in Pittsburgh. They've come back. They've won the first 2 out of 3. And, Hugh, this is a team. We'll see where they land. It wouldn't shock me.
If they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock with their pitching and some of their offense.
Yeah, they got some pretty good pitching.
They're young. I wouldn't be surprised if we are in the wild card series that we see them. So it's a good litmus test, and they've played well against them so far. Derek, we appreciate you being here. Thank you for the donation to the Phillies Fantastic Auction, and we're looking forward to going to a game with you later this season.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Derek, our winner of the Phillies Fantastic Auction. All right, Hugh, you taking any home run bets before we sign off?
You know what? I haven't bet in a while. You know, since it's getting close to football season, I got my little coins. I'm going to save.
Oh, you're saving?
For my bet.
Any predictions, though? I mean, it's hot. Sometimes the ball flies when it's hot.
So
Bryce has been hot. Trey has been hot in the last few days.
Haven't heard from Schwarber in a while.
We're kind of due, aren't we?
Yeah, we're kind of due for that.
Sunday was his last home run.
Yeah, we're kind of due for that, so I'm going to go with Schwarber.
The crazy part with Schwarber is he hits so many home runs that when it's like 3 games without one, you're like
what's going on? What are we doing?
It's been a long time. He's been stuck on 30 since Sunday. I like that idea. Maybe Kyle Schwarber with a home run today off of Jared Jones. It's Jared Jones. It's Ron Hell for the Phillies, his first actual start. Good litmus test for him. Pirates have a pretty good offense. We'll see how Ron Hell pitches without the opener in front of him. Phillies go for the series victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Oh, we're going to hand this over in a couple seconds here to Greg Murphy with
Murph.
Philly. Yes, Phillies on deck as he gets you set for the game, the pitching matchups, and the Phillies going for another series victory. Everyone out there, have a great day. Stay hydrated. Enjoy the Phillies. Enjoy hopefully another series victory. And enjoy July 4th. Hugh and I will talk to you at the beginning of next week right here, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP.